You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast. Number
165, Course Tune, interview with Maria Anderson. Welcome back to my podcast. That clip was from a song called See the Sun by a California group called Black Lab. They made a hit a while back by featuring some of their tunes on movies such as Spider-Man and Blade Trinity. Stay tuned. I'll play the full song at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. You'll note that I like to identify new, interesting e-learning technologies. And I ran across this one called Course Tune. So my interview today is with Maria Anderson. She's the CEO and founder of Course Tune. Course Tune, it turns out, has a completely unique way to visualize the underpinnings and framework of curriculum design. I love their metaphors around music. It's a way to harmonize your curriculum. So we discuss Maria's interesting background, the need for Course Tune, improving curriculum design beyond spreadsheets and whiteboards. It's sort of like the AutoCAD for curriculum design. So without further ado, here's my interview with co-founder and CEO of Course Tune, Maria Anderson. So I'm very fortunate to have Maria Anderson here. And Maria, thank you so much for joining me today for a brief interview.
Happy to be here.
So I'm excited to learn about Course Tune. And but before we jump into the nitty-gritty and what Course Tune is and what it does, tell me a little bit about you and your background.
Sure. So it's a little bit complicated. It's like the Facebook status. I don't know if they still have that status or not, but it's complicated. I spent 15 years in higher education, teaching as a graduate student and then a full-time faculty member. And I taught mostly math, but some chemistry. And towards the end, I taught like social media, which is a little different than math and chemistry. And over that 15-year period, I taught online, and I taught with a lot of different kinds of technologies, and I worked with publishers, and I worked on advising boards for ed tech products. And I jumped out of the airplane and left academia in 2012 and went to work for Instructure on their Canvas product, helped them build a MOOC platform, Canvas Network. And then I went and did some work in adaptive learning software, the technology that eventually McGraw-Hill bought, which is LearnSmart and SmartBook related technologies. And then I thought, well, I'm going to go back to, I had been working remotely for a while, and I thought, well, I'm going to go back to education. So my last stint in education was actually at Western Governors University as their director of learning design. And I left that job in 2016, to start Course Tune. So that's kind of, that's the in a nutshell description.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a background. Do you have programming background too, or your work was strictly instructional design?
Well, that's an interesting question too. That's complicated. I first actually learned how to program in high school. It was a required class for graduation at the high school I went to. And so my first language was Pascal. And I actually have done programming work in Visual Basic, which was a long time ago, and some programming on kind of secondary languages and systems, but no formal computer. I've never been a computer engineer of any kind, but I do know how to program and can be a little dangerous if you let me into the code.
Right. Well, if anybody knows me, they know that I'm very much in favor of requiring students to take programming at some point in their career, and not to necessarily turn them into software developers, but I think it helps them learn to think about things in a structured way. And I think it can help anybody.
I'm going to say something very heretical here, which is that, I mean, I've taught math as a career for more than a decade. And if a school is teaching math just so that students learn critical thinking, I actually think that the students would be better off taking a programming class. Uh-huh. So there you have it. There's my bombshell.
I agree. Well, okay. So that's, we know about your background. So what led you to develop CourseTune?
Well, I've been on all different sides of learning and teaching and developing technology for learning. I've been a student, I've been an instructor, I've been an administrator, I've been a vendor, and I've been on the product side, like doing the design of the product. There's this fundamental building block missing from all this technology, which is that we never see an actual architecture for the curriculum. We build tools to deliver the learning. We build tools for managing the catalogs and for managing the student information. In some mostly rare occurrences, we see schools attempting to design better curriculum, but there has not been any good tool to do it. And at some point, I realized that everybody was running around asking everybody else, what do you use to do this? What software do you use to do this? And nobody had a good answer. And it was at that point where I realized that even those players who are considered the experts in designing curriculum don't have a good answer to this question. But I realized there was kind of an opportunity to build a good solution to that problem. And the question was, could we build a good solution to the problem? And so I started, I quit my job and we started noodling around with how we could architect a good solution and what that solution, what components would be in that. Is it project management? Is it, architecture type software? What does it look like? And there was this moment where we came up with a way to visualize a course. And from that moment on, I would say we knew exactly what we wanted to build. And it's been a really interesting experience because we have a lot of folks that say, I don't understand what you mean. Like when you say visualize a course, I'm like, well, let us show you. And so we'll bring them in to a demo for a few minutes. And we've actually had people stop our demos and say, wait, just stop talking for a second. I just want to say that I didn't know what it was going to look like, but now that I see it, it's like exactly what's happening in my head. And so that's really exciting. There was this moment where we knew what the visualization was going to look like and we moved forward with that and everything has kind of fallen into place on top of it. So it's been really nice.
That's great. Ironically, I just came from a meeting here on campus where it was about planning a session for some new faculty with a brand new curriculum. Now, I wish I had your tool about a year ago when this started planning because my question to them was that, okay, well, where is the content? I see your spreadsheets and I see your course learning objectives, but how do you put all this together? And as you probably discovered, it's on spreadsheets, if we're lucky, on spreadsheets, and not just in, the instructor's head.
Yeah, my favorite example is where the curriculum lives on a whiteboard with the message "Do not erase," and it has lived there for like 10 years, right?
I'm not surprised. I'm sure that's happened. Well, it's a really interesting concept, and like you say, I'm not aware of any other, and I've been software that's in this particular space, and I've been doing this for a couple decades now. And so is there anything that's, similar to your concept at all?
We don't really think so. So we always ask customers when they ask us, well, who do you think is our competitor? Cause we actually want to know. Right. And there are some companies that use similar words to us, but when you look at their software, it's spreadsheets, like slightly more sophisticated spreadsheets. And so, I think it's just like a breath of fresh air to people who have been attempting to build this beautifully architected curriculum using nothing but spreadsheets. Spreadsheets just don't do it justice, the complexity of it. And it's a little bit more like putting together a jigsaw puzzle. Mm-hmm. And imagine if you had to sort all the jigsaw puzzle pieces into columns and rows of a spreadsheet, before right. you put the puzzle together. And no, you need something that actually deals with the jigsaw, right?
Right.
It needs to be more organic than that. And so we've built a solution that is really just much easier to grasp the concepts in and more delightful to use and really lets the deep conversations happen between the people who design the curriculum and do the instructional design work and the faculty who are going to execute on it. And it just provides kind of a place for them to talk about and work on the architecture of it. That's very neutral and non-judgmental. And when you start to see how the learning objectives relate or don't relate to the course goals and how the course goals relate or don't relate to the program goals, mm-hmm. that opens up a field for conversation that's not normally there. And it's a non-judgmental conversation because it's like, okay, well, we have a learning objective. It doesn't seem to map to anything else. Like, there might be a great reason for it, and you're missing a course objective, right? Or a program objective that's really there that nobody's articulated, right? But at least the conversation is happening. So I just think it's a really great place to start talking about these things.
There are other systems that certainly we have our LMS, we have our SIS, and there are other systems that integrate with both. There are a couple out there that I'm aware of that are focused on assessment mm-hmm. and linking the SIS with the LMS and, with the program objectives and so on. What's the sweet spot of yours? Does it also take into account assessment and rubrics and things like that? How do they fit in? And do you integrate with any other kinds of systems?
Okay, so can I step back and tell sure. you a little metaphor for the software? Because I think that helps to people to get where it fits into this ecosystem. So we tell the story of, like, let's say you want to build a house or a subdivision. And so you start by buying a plot of land where this house is going to live. And then the next thing you do is you go make a plan for the house, right? You talk to an architect or a builder who does design plans, and you customize the plan according to what you want. So you make sure it has bathrooms where you want them, and the kitchen is designed open or closed, floor plan. And, you look at the general, do I like the design of the outside of the house? Do I like, how everything is situated? And when all your stakeholders, which might be your family members, agree that, okay, we like the design, then you take the design and you hire some folks who are expert at building the design to put it into the job site, right? And I think what's been happening in higher education is that we buy the job site, which is our LMS, and we hire the people who are going to build it, which are our faculty members and maybe our instructional designers. And we know that theoretically this house is going to need plumbing and electricity. That's our learning and our assessment track. We'll decide. I'll let you decide which one's plumbing and which one's electricity. But we never made a plan. And the problem with that is that we end up with houses that have, like, bathrooms on the roof, or there's no plumbing, but there is electricity, or, the plumbing doesn't run to certain rooms, or the electricity shorts in some room. Like, there's no coherent plan. And if you look at a degree program, now you're looking at something like a subdivision, and you end up with all sorts of houses that don't really fit the subdivision, right? Because you haven't architected the subdivision. You haven't made a plan for the subdivision, right? And this is, I think, what's, we had kind of our first phase of e-learning, which I think we're reaching the end of, which is we moved learning online. We're giving accessibility to learning to a whole new population of people, which is absolutely fantastic. And we did that. We took what happened in a face-to-face classroom and we moved it online in an executable format. But we didn't do a ton of redesign around it. It's still kind of built according to the instructor and the time frame really good e-learning definitely has better design than mediocre e-learning. But again, we never really made a plan. And what I mean by that is we arrive at the LMS with the instructor, the number of weeks, the students, and somebody builds some learning and assessment. But very rarely can they tell you what the learning objectives are for each of those pieces of learning and each of those assessments, if they can tell you the learning objectives at all. And so it's like we skipped the whole blueprint, right? We just never built it. And the problem with that is that now we're being asked to make data-driven decisions. And those data-driven decisions are supposed to be around, is the education performing well? But at the heart of it, we don't actually know what the architecture is. There's no blueprint. And so where we really see CourseTune sitting is it's kind of like an AutoCAD for learning design. It gives you a way to visualize and design the curriculum from the smallest learning objective to the highest institutional goal. And then you can take that plan. And so it's not just the learning statements, but also designing where the learning where the learning activities are going to fall, where the assessment activities are going to fall, what they're connected to, the properties of those activities. For example, does this activity involve interacting with an instructor? Does this activity involve synchronous or asynchronous modes? You know, things like that can all be designed with CourseTune. And so you can basically take that blueprint when you like the way it's turned out and show up at your job site and build it, right? It may seem like that's an extra step, but I would argue that lots of people end up building and rebuilding and rebuilding.
Oh, yes.
And that's also an extra step. It's kind of like the measure twice, cut once, right?
Right.
We're asking people to consider that maybe they should measure twice.
Right. I like when you said it's the, you know, like AutoCAD. It's, people are familiar with that. But in looking at some of the media on your website, I see it's very graphically oriented. So you had some very clever designers, graphical designers, I might say, that put this together. What did you draw on in terms of skills? And it seems like you probably pulled in people from outside of the typical higher ed realm. Is that the case?
Well, our design was kind of a team effort. I knew that we wanted something very visual. And so I made it a goal one day. I have a stack of books of like data analytics graphics that I've been collecting for years. I've done a couple of workshops on data analytics and graphics and things like that for faculty. And so I have this stack of books and I said, okay, we have to figure out how CourseTune is going to look. And so I sat down with a stack of books and I just flipped pages until I started to get an idea of how we could take data that is, by its very nature, paragraphs and sentences and connections between things, and make it into something that's easy to grok, you know, in a glance. And so at some point I saw a graphic where I was like, you know, this style could work. And I made the initial mock-ups of CourseTune on whiteboards and with construction paper and made videos for our development team and our UI folks to take a look at, you know, showing how I thought things should work. And then from there on, it was a collaboration between our UI team and myself and the other folks on the team to, you know, we spent a good month or two just really iterating on like, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do this. But that's ultimately that moment where we knew how it should look, right? And it's really interesting how well everything else is falling out from that initial design. People sometimes wonder about it being, you know, circular. Really, it's circular. But we have so many visualizations coming that really depend on the original being circular. And so, like, this is just the beginning, and there's some really cool things that are coming from this.
Yeah, I can certainly appreciate that. I tend to be a visual learner. I love having... Sometimes I use Prezi. Yeah, because I like having a concept diagram and then being able to drill down. And it seems like that's the way your system looks. I haven't seen it live, but certainly your graphics and your video on your site are give one a good feel for how it all works. Does this stand alone, or are there integrations with other systems?
So it essentially stands alone in that you can use it with any other system that you have, right? It's the blueprint, and the blueprint stands by itself. The idea is you can take it anywhere and then build with it, right? And we are working on things. I mean, we're a fairly new company, right? We just started selling to customers in September. So you gotta give us a little time to grow here. But we, you know, are working on APIs, and we always, like, from day one, there was a way to download your data from CourseTune, right? So if you want your data to be used by your institutional research team, or your, you know, somebody at your institution who wants to import it somewhere, you always have access to your data. It's a click. You can export it at any level. But we do want to make kind of tighter ways to port the data from one place to another. So over the next year, I imagine we'll build some more of that to help that mission.
Right. And it looks like it's really geared to allowing people to communicate. I see some sort of social media aspects to this. I saw thumbs up and thumbs down. How does that work?
So one of the things that had really kind of been getting under my skin was this question of whether we are good at continuously improving curriculum. So, you know, I've watched at several institutions where, you know, there's a large grant or a large effort to build the first iteration of a program or a set of OER materials, or, you know, to redevelop these five courses for online or something. And so all this time and effort goes into the initial build. And then there's nothing that follows up that initial build in terms of financial support or people support to have it go through some iterations of improvement. And I really think that, you know, sometimes people will ask, like, will education ever be agile? And I think that the place for curriculum to be agile is at the moment it starts to interact with students. At that moment where, you know, what we've built is interacting with students, we start to see what's working and what's not working, right? And we start to get ideas about what could be better in a way you never get it in the initial build. Because suddenly seeing it in context in the moment, and with, you know, a new news going on around you and things like that, everything changes. And so what we want to be able to do is capture those moments and capture those ideas as the curriculum is being delivered. So one of the nice things about having created a blueprint for the course, and that blueprint being designed on the fundamental structure, which is the learning objectives and the course goals, is that no matter which section of a course you teach, you could come back to that blueprint and make suggestions for how the course might be delivered differently, right?
I see. So that's how it works.
So we want the faculty, the advisors, like whoever interacts with that curriculum to be able to, because sometimes the advisors actually know more about how curriculum is working than the faculty do, because they're the ones who deal with the students who are in tears in their office or switching degrees because chapter three was so hard in chemistry, right? And so, like, you want all of the insights that are out there on, you know, where stumbling blocks are, where we could improve things, where curriculum has gotten stale. We call it, you know, like, so there was this unease I had over what I called curriculum rot, which is this idea that is beautiful when it first goes out the door, but then over time, the paint starts to chip on the house and the kitchen is outdated now, right? And so what are we doing to make sure that over time, you know, how to keep improving that course? And so our, what we call tuning, that's the name Course Tune, is a way to put your suggestions on the course, to have other team members of the course interact with you about those suggestions. And so you can do something as simple as saying thumbs up or thumbs down, or you can have a whole conversation about, like, hey, I think we ought to change this video. It doesn't seem appropriate anymore. Well, what should we change it to? Well, here are some ideas. You know, like, you can have that whole conversation, and then whoever manages the build of that course, because sometimes these are like master courses with many sections, right? Whoever is the coordinator can decide at some point, okay, we seem to have reached a consensus. We've decided we're going to do X, and let's kick that to a planned task. And so those suggestions can actually become items on a to-do list for the course. So every course houses its own to-do list. And when it's time to build the course for the next semester, you know, which sometimes is like 9 months away, right? So some courses are only delivered every fall, right? And so like during the course, you get all these ideas about like, oh, we should change this or we should change this. And then next fall rolls around, nobody can remember what those ideas were, or there, you know, there's no list anywhere, and you just republish the course. And then, you know, you get to those moments in the course where you think, oh, we were going to change this, but we forgot, right? Well, we want to capture those in the moment, because in the moment is where we get the best insights, and that's where agile should happen, right? Yeah. So that's where we get to continuous improvement.
I can see especially this is important in a team taught course and faculty turnover and whatnot. It seems like would be a hub for yeah. keeping that information up to date and in order. Who is your target audience? Is this mainly higher ed, or do you have other audiences?
I would say we're mainly focusing on higher ed. I mean, my whole background is in higher ed. My PhD is in higher ed leadership, so it's clearly a field I care very much about. And, you know, I deeply believe in the mission of higher ed, and that, you know, higher ed is good for the economy. It's good for our society. It's good for individuals. And I really want to help that mission. I think that, so we've primarily focused on higher ed. There is no reason why K-12 couldn't use it. We just, you know, we're a young company and a small team, and you have to kind of pick and choose your battles. So for now, our primary target is institutions in higher ed, or folks that develop curriculum for higher ed. But with that said, we do have customers in the K-12 in the K-12 arena as well.
On the technical side, I'm assuming this is all cloud-based. Is it hosted in something like AWS or?
Yeah, so we're cloud-based. I think we're about to move over to Google Cloud Services, actually. And you know, so standard kind of software as a service model. So we do kind of an annual billing, and it's based on the size of the team you're going to use CourseTain with.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering how you price it. Yeah.
Nothing to do with student size of your campus. It has to do with the number of people you are going to bring into the product.
Okay. I like that, that model a little bit better, because oftentimes, you know, we integrate with many different vendors, and they say, well, you know, with your student FTEs, this is what's going to cost. And I say, well, yeah, but only a small fraction of people are going to use that particular product. So I like that. Like you said, you're a new company. You're still growing. Is there anything on the horizon that you can tell us about? Where, you know, some new feature or new version? I guess the first question is, how often is it updated? Is it updated monthly, quarterly? And is there anything new that you can tell us that's coming down the line?
Our typical release cycle is about 3 to 4 weeks. So I can tell you about something we're pretty excited about, which is we're calling variations. And what it lets you do, and so this is something we'll be building in the near future. Got it all mocked up. We know how it's going to work. And got a lot of folks that are really excited about it. So we have in CourseTune every course, if you think about like an old fashioned record with two sides, side A and side B, every course you design in CourseTune, which has a circular structure, as I think I've mentioned, you kind of have this fan of learning objectives around the outer edge of the course. And on one side of the record, you organize those learning objectives by the course goals or competencies or whatever your institution calls them. It goes by many names. I like to joke that there are 4,000 institutions of higher ed, and therefore 4,000 different ways of designing curriculum. So I can't pick a consistent way to name it, but whatever you call it, your course goals, those like, what do you hope students will walk away from this course with, right? So on one side of the record, you can organize the learning objectives by those course goals. On the other side of the record, you organize the learning objectives by however you're going to deliver the course to students, which is not usually the same as course goals. So, for example, in a math class, I might organize the course with 15 weeks with learning objectives in each week if it's an online course. Or if it's a face-to-face course, I might organize it as 5 units, and each unit holds learning objectives, right? And that's a natural kind of variation that happens as the modality changes, et cetera. So on that side where you organize it by how you're going to deliver it. We call this side bundles for bundles of learning because it's kind of generic. Nobody uses that. So that's what we call it to make it safe. So on that side of the course, you can also put in your learning and assessment activities kind of as tree rings around the outside edge of the learning objective. So you can make little arcs very easily that say like, okay, I'm going to have a project that spans these 8 learning objectives, and here's the properties of that project, et cetera. And so the variations build that we're about to start here, it will create a way to lock down the learning objectives and the course goals so that they're consistent throughout a variety of variations that you have. So you might have variations because you have a face-to-face 15-week course, a hybrid 15-week course, an online 15-week course, a face-to-face 8-week course. You know, and all of that is going to create variation in how many tests you give, whether you use projects or papers, you know, how you organize learning objectives to deliver them to students. There's going to be natural variation, and there should be, between those modalities, right? There's also variation between instructors, right? But what should not change is that core learning objective and course goal structure. That shouldn't change between sections of a course, right? So, you know, if you think about, you know, a physics course or math course or something, you know, you're going to learn the same, you should learn the same things regardless of who teaches you. Now, how they teach you and how they assess you, that's the realm of academic freedom, right? So basically, if you can imagine now a stack of records on a record player, that's going to be what variations is. So the turntable itself is that locked base that says, you know, hey, we've all agreed these are the learning objectives for the course. You can't remove them. They must be in your course. But your record can be designed how you want. Organize learning objectives how you want. Put them in units. Put them in modules. Put them in weeks, whatever you want. You know, you might teach it with projects. I teach it with exams. You know, somebody else teaches it with papers. Fine, as long as learning objectives are covered, right? And so what you'll have is this, you know, stack of records where you can actually drill down to any variation in that stack and see the design for any of those courses, you know, generate reports that show you the variation between the different courses and whether any of them seem really far out there. And this is all without going in and like spying on the instructors in the LMS or in the classroom, right? This is a design we're looking at. We're not walking into somebody's house. We're just looking at the blueprint, right? And so I think it creates a really nice way to talk about this new way we need to think about building curriculum, right? That it shouldn't be around the instructor and the number of weeks. It should actually be around what are students supposed to learn with natural variation between modality and instructor. And that's totally fine. And so that's the next, you know, kind of big thing we're working on that I think is going to be super great for institutions who are really doing their due diligence to try to make sure that, especially for scaffolded courses, you know, STEM courses or courses in like public health or, you know, any discipline where every course depends on a course you took in the prior year, right? You need to make sure there's consistency in those courses. And it's been a really hard problem to solve because how do you have consistency while maintaining academic freedom? Well, we have that.
That's really impressive. And I like your musical metaphor, course tune, and your tagline, harmonize your curriculum. And now you're talking about records and, you know, maybe the whole, maybe a whole program then will be a symphony. I don't know.
Actually, we sell our licenses and packages like a quintet.
That's right.
An orchestra, a symphony. So we actually package our licenses that way just to be cute.
That's great. Well, listen, Maria, I appreciate your time. I want to be respectful of your time here late in the day. And it looks like you have a very interesting product. Like I said, I wish I had learned about this a year ago. I think we really could have used it, but maybe we'll be designing some new courses in the future. So I'll certainly try to spread the word.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So that's it for my interview today. I hope you enjoyed the talk about CourseTune. Nothing really substitutes for going to their website and watching some of their videos. I love the way they graphically represent the curriculum. So until next time, have a great week. Stay tuned for The Song by Black Lab.
For today's episode, thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.